Pastor Leon and his wife Sheila founded Gospel Tabernacle Church in 1982 in the heart of Lawrence, South Carolina. Since then, the Lord has richly blessed and increased the ministry and family of Gospel Tabernacle Church. Here at Gospel Tabernacle, we believe in the power of the Word of God to change the hearts and lives of believers. Gospel Tabernacle is a family church ministering to the whole family through the charismatic teaching ministry. Today's message will grow your faith and draw you close to the Lord as you open your heart to God's Word and His Spirit. All right, let's make our confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess, my mind's alert, my heart's receptive. I'll never be the same. I'm about to receive the indestructible, the incorruptible, the ever-living seed, the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. In Jesus' name. Somebody say, poor Satan. And somebody say, praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I hear T.L. Osborne, missionary evangelist T.L. Osborne, he would say it in such a good, annoying the devil type voice. Poor Satan. Poor Satan. When you realize what Satan is, what has happened to him by the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection, you'll start to feel bad for Satan. You'll start to pity him because he's just the biggest chump loser ever. I mean, it's just, you know, when he finally gets cast down, people will say, that's the guy that was deceiving the nations. Are you kidding me? Seriously? 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read a couple verses. Somebody say, power in the blood. Hey, I'm so, I can just feel the Spirit of God moving in our church right now. I just feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Wherever the blood is honored, the Spirit moves. Hallelujah. We're going to see some things today, and this is just a touching point. And nowhere near going to even cover everything that the Scripture tells us about the blood of Christ. Nowhere even begin. It's just going to whet your appetite. It's like those fun-sized candy bars. Anyone ever had those? They're about this big. Just enough to make you mad. You open it up and you think, I need about 17 of these, not just one, right? There's going to be just enough to whet your appetite. But there's power in the blood. I want you to know that there's power in the blood of Christ. We sing songs about it. There's poems written about it. There's scriptures we can confess it. But until it gets deep down in the depth of your spirit, it won't make a difference. But once it gets in your heart by faith, once you apply the blood of Christ to your life, everything changes. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. If you haven't found it yet, you're going to have to look on to your neighbor's Bible because we got to read now. 1 Peter 1, verse 17. And if you call on the Father, who's called on the Father in salvation? Somebody say amen. Who without partiality judges according to each one's work. How many is thankful that God doesn't pick and choose and play favorites? Amen. I'm thankful for that. Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Holy fear, not demonic fear, the fear of the Lord. Verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct. The King James says vain conversation, which means worthless living. You know, before I encountered the saving power of Jesus, I lived a pretty worthless life. Now, some of y'all may have been born holy, but I said before I encountered Jesus, I lived and did some worthless things. Amen? But we've been redeemed from that. Now, here's the thing. And received by tradition of your fathers. Joshua talks to the people of Israel. He tells them, he says, before he makes that powerful statement, today, choose whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Before he says that, he tells the people of Israel, he says, look, you can serve the idols of Egypt that you learned about. And we're going to look at Egypt and Israel coming out of Egyptian bondage here in just a minute. He said, you can serve those idols, which is tradition, Or you can serve the gods of the Canaanites, the land you're about to go into, which is the culture. And that's your choice. You can either do things out of tradition, or you can surrender to the culture, or you can pick the true path and serve God. And that's when Joshua said, I'm going to serve the living God. And that's what we see here in verse 18. We've been redeemed from that vain conversation, that aimless conduct received by tradition from our fathers. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The entire gospel message, all that salvation is, and I hope you understand, don't think of salvation as one topic of Christianity. Salvation is the beginning. It is the door. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. Salvation is the door that you enter into the things of God. It's not a one. It is a topic. You can understand we can teach on different types of topics. But by way of salvation, we receive everything that we receive from God. You don't get anything else. You don't say, well, I'm going to get some healing over here, but not salvation. Healing comes because I've received Jesus as Lord. Healing was purchased because Jesus paid the debt of sin. You can look, and in fact, you know, prosperity and provision. In today's world, you need to believe God will meet all your needs in excess and abundance. Amen? I mean, pastor's been teaching on that for several weeks. How else are you going to leave an inheritance for your children's children? You know, I was looking at some our investments and things that Laura and I have been doing, and we've just been doing like pastor's been talking about. Where we're at, we're doing a certain amount where we're at right now. We're not comparing ourselves to people beside us or in front of us. What we're doing is we're comparing ourselves today against who we were yesterday, and are we improving? That's the only comparison I want to make. And I was looking, I said, wow, if we don't touch anything and don't add anything else to our retirement investments and things that Laura was diligent to do to get that match, if you got a match, get a match at your work. Amen. That's free money. Anyone like free money? That's free money. You got that? Get that. And I had to call Dad. I found another reason to call him. I said, well, while I'm talking to you, I'm going to tell you this too. And I realized, I said, look, if we don't add anything else to it, we'll hit this milestone at a certain age. I said, now it's just a game to get there faster. Why is that? Because you take action on the Word of God. So, but prosperity and provision, it only comes by way of salvation. Because Christians are blessed for a purpose. Blessed to be a blessing. You think about peace and joy and being free from fear and not being anxious, not suffering from depression. That is a byproduct, if you will, of salvation. When Jesus was dying on the cross for sin, it says the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. Jesus had no reason to be for His peace to be chastised. Jesus had no reason to be separated from the Father, but He became sin. He did no sin, but literally He became the sin sacrifice so that He could bear the weight of sin for all of the world, so that anyone that would believe on Him would receive His eternal life. And when you receive His eternal life, it's an abundant life, John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give life and give it abundantly. So when you understand and you get a better understanding of this marvelous mystery, as the book of Ephesians talks about it, and the book of Romans, this mystery of salvation, and it's a mystery no more, because when the Bible talks about a mystery, it's only for the purpose to reveal it. And the more you understand what salvation is, and more you understand that everything that we have in this life is because of the blood, it opens up realms of faith that you've yet to experience. It is by the power of the blood. And you see here in 1 Peter 1, you have been redeemed, and it makes the comparison, not silver and gold. Take all the money there is in the world, stack it all up. It still will not compare to the price that was paid for you. The blood, I heard one minister say it this way, God went shopping for your soul and He used the blood of Jesus to pay the debt, to pay the bill. Some of us, we can lay down cash. Some of us can lay down cards, digital currency stuff. Jesus laid down the blood. He poured out His blood to purchase you. This is why you can never allow Satan to tear you down. You are too costly. You know, when people make an investment, they want to see a return on investment, whether it's money, whether it's time, whether it's energy. Anybody here just like doing stuff for the sake of doing it? Or you like to do something and get ahead and succeed? Or, you know, you like to give out parents, grandparents, you like to give out an instruction and the kids, the children or grandchildren actually go do what you tell them to do? It's a whole new realm of glory when you say it and they do it the first time, isn't it? Amen. Not 17 times. You know, I'm thinking, do I need to record this for you, Naomi, and just play it all day? You know, go do it, babe. I told you that. I know, you know, you want to tell me this. I found a bug, Dad. I know you found a bug, but I said go pick up the toys. I found some. I know you. Go pick up the toys. When Satan's talking to you, it's lies, it's schemes, and it's deceptions. And he wants to tear you down, but the reality is the most highest price that's ever been paid was paid for you, and it's the blood of Christ. It was the blood of Christ. Now, in order for you to see the power of the blood, I need to take you back to the very beginning. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Genesis chapter 3, this kind of was on my heart when I was sharing on Easter Sunday, and you're going to hear a few things that we touched on then. But I heard myself say something. And believe it or not, the Lord can use anybody. Amen. If he can use anybody, he can use me. Somebody said, I know it. He's a miracle worker if he can use you, AJ. And so I heard my own self say something, and it began to move in my heart, and it's just kind of been there since then. But of course, you know the story. God created man in his own image, in his own likeness. God, the triune God, Elohim, let us make man in our own image. When God decided to create man, he used himself as a model to create his man. Then, because his man is made in his image, he then gives him his dominion, his power, his authority over this earth. Well, man, Adam, realized he needed a companion, so God made Eve, made a woman. Some say, well, you know, God, He got his trial run on the man, and once he perfected it, he then made women. I've heard a woman say that before, you know. He got all the mistakes out on the man, then when he could do it real right, made women. He made man, then he made woman. Then Satan comes and deceives Eve, but Adam sinned. 1 Timothy 2 tells us that. 13 and 14. Eve was deceived, but Adam was not. Therefore, Adam transgressed. He openly disobeyed. Well, from that point forward, sin enters the earth. And whenever sin enters someone's life, there's separation. Someone say separation. There's separation. And let me tell you something. You might think, why does sometimes, we're Christians. How many is a believer in Jesus? Say amen. We're Christians. And I thank God he's called me, counted me faithful to be in the ministry, and I don't ever want to be hard. I don't want to ever be mean, but I don't want to be silent in the midst of a sinful generation, because you can't bring people to salvation unless you call people to repentance. And it's an amazing thing. I was looking at yesterday. We've had 23 people just through digital ministry this year come to Jesus, just through the digital stuff we do. Not counting the people in the house that get saved and rededicate their lives to Jesus. But how does that happen? When you make a call to repent. You know, I was thinking about that and praying about that. There's a lot of ministries, unfortunately, they have went bloodless. They've went repentantless. And they only teach certain topics because they know it will get amens and no pushback. But I'm just not afraid of man. I love you, but I'm not afraid of man. Because when I stand before Jesus, whose eyes are filled with holy fire, I'm not going to say, well, I was afraid what they may say, or they may tweet about me. They may, you know, remix it on TikTok and make fun of me. I've already been made fun of. Ain't no big deal. It just helps me out. People remix the stuff and do this and that, and they share it. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. 10,000 more people saw it. That's great. But what you have is you have people, Christians, who are playing with sin, and it destroys their own confidence. This is why when Adam was in the garden, he's hiding after he sins. Where are you, Adam? It's walking time. It's the normal time when I come down and we walk together. Where are you? We're hiding. Why are you hiding? We're naked. What was the TV show, Naked and Afraid? I ain't never watched it, but I think that's what it was called. They were naked and afraid. With a title like that, you probably don't need to watch it to find out if it's good or not. They were naked and afraid. Who told you you were naked? Now you might think, Lord, all you got to do is look down and see if you're clothed or not. Well, it had to do with shame. Sin always brings shame. Sin brings separation. Sin brings shame. Now, you know the story, but verse 21 is what I want you to see. God has to remove Adam and Eve from the midst of the garden because the garden is the Lord's and the Lord cannot tolerate sin. The book of Hebrews says, apart from holiness, no man shall see God. So verse 21, and for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. Notice that, tunics of skin. The first blood sacrifice that ever took place on the earth is here, during the age of when, from the point that Adam was created. Verse 21. This is why, if you're in Genesis 3, looked at Genesis chapter 4, you start reading in verses 1, 2, and 3, you see that they have two sons, Abel and Cain. And it tells us that Abel raised sheep, and Cain brought an offering. Notice verse 3. Cain was a tiller of the ground. Verse 3, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Verse 4, Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Verse 5, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. Now, this isn't part of it. This is just bonus today. Look at verse 6 and 7. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? Verse 7, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Those two verses right there are the best, most powerful counseling, biblical counseling scriptures in the world. People, they'll talk to me sometimes and they'll say, I feel a certain way and I don't want to feel this way. And immediately I say, what are you doing? Because right here, your countenance has fallen, Cain. Why has your countenance, why has your demeanor, why are you depressed? Why are you filled rejected? Don't you understand? If you do what Abel did, you too will be accepted. How many has ever went to work when you didn't feel like going to work? Someone said, how many times? 10,000? No. So wait a minute. You didn't feel like it, but you still did it. Why? Had to pay those bills. You want to eat, don't you? Wait a minute. I thought you didn't feel like it. But you did it anyway. I don't feel like going to church. Do it anyway. I don't feel like praying. Do it anyway. I don't feel like reading my Bible. Do it anyway. I don't feel like bringing someone with me to church. Do it anyway. I don't feel like serving. Do it anyway. I don't feel like singing. Do it anyway. I don't feel like clapping. Do it anyway. Hey, we can make a song out of this, huh? Y'all picking it up quick now. I like that. Do it anyway. We're going to teach a sermon. We all going to go teach a sermon. Do it anyway. Hey, all right. And what happens? Your feelings change. I don't feel in love. Act like you're in love. Fake it till you make it. But you know what happens when you start acting like you're in love? Oh, something will spark up inside. Hey, you know, you bring home flowers. You send that text. You do things you did when you're dating. Wow, you just feel like you're dating again. When you start changing what you do, you will feel different. And that's what he's telling to Cain. Now, what I want you to see is that that was just all bonus. So you didn't even have to pay for that. Verse 5, your offering, Cain was not respected. He didn't respect Cain's offering. Why did he not respect Cain's offering? He brought him vegetables. You see it in verse 2. Cain was a tiller of the ground. But Abel was a keeper of sheep. In verse 3, Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. Anyone planting any garden this year? Or maybe you got something in pots or something? I didn't say planting pot. I said, do you have something in pots? Planting in a garden. We got a raised bed. We got a couple raised beds that we're planting. I just went crazy. I haven't planted a garden in years, and I just went crazy. And so I planted 100 onion bulbs, and I've got about 40 onions coming up. I don't know what we're going to do with that many onions. I have no clue. I've got potatoes, carrots, flowers, sunflowers, bell pepper, tomatoes, squash, zucchini, cucumber. I ain't got a clue. I don't even eat vegetables. No, I'm just kidding. I do. I like vegetables. But we planted all these things. But you know what? When harvest time comes and I pull up those vegetables and there'll be a season of harvesting, not one of those vegetables, when I cut them, will bleed. Not one of them. But Abel brought a lamb because the Bible tells us the life is in the blood. Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Someone say, life is in the blood. Life is in the blood. Leviticus 17, verse 11. Leviticus has a lot of interesting laws, and many of them open up to us everything that Jesus did for us in the New Covenant. Sometimes it's an easy book to read through, or if you're listening to it, you hit the 2X on the audio Bible. Laura was doing that the other day. I said, Lord of mercy. He's just flying. He was reading on there. And don't tell her I said that. And anyway, she's going to get through the whole Bible in about 2 months. In verse 11, in Leviticus, you read things, you think, that's strange, but notice this. Verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. That word atonement means payment, a covering, being made right, the debt being canceled. So here we see in the book of Leviticus, the Lord is saying the life is in the blood. Blood carries life. Many of y'all that are nurses and work in the medical field, you know this. There's red blood cells, there's white blood cells. When blood, I don't know, what is it? There's veins and arteries, and they do different things. One pumps out, one brings them back in. And when it goes out, it's taking red blood cells, which I think are full of oxygen and nutrients and things. And then when it comes back, they're white, and it's got that, was it carbon dioxide, I believe, or monoxide? Anyway, it's when you go, that's what comes out, right? And then you just do it all over again. And that blood is moving through your entire body, taking oxygen in and out, and it's pumping. And I think even some of your organs, only a few of them are actually muscles, which means they move. The rest of your organs actually move or work by the blood forcing coming in and out of those organs. And I asked this on Easter, and a few of y'all said that you've given blood, but probably most of us have given blood some shape or form. And I asked the question, why were you stingy? Why didn't you just give all the blood? And of course, if you gave all your blood, you would die, right? That ain't worth the cookies they hand out in the T-shirt. I gave blood to give it all. And I'd give me more than that, all right? Because the life is in the blood. This is why when the very first sacrifice, notice this, by God, Genesis 3, when he makes skins, tunics, for Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness. But it wasn't because they were naked. They were naked before. It was to cover the shame of sin. When sin entered the earth, so then death came with it. And blood or life is given for life. And so that first sacrifice, the Lord is showing an example. That's how Cain and Abel know what to give. That's why God can say to Cain, if you just do right, you'll be accepted too. Because he already, he didn't see it, but he was taught or should have been taught by Adam and Eve what a sacrifice is, a blood sacrifice. Now, what I want you to see is this. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. You're in Leviticus, so you hit the first book and the third book. Let's get the second one. Exodus chapter 12. The very first Passover, someone say Passover, was instituted here in Exodus chapter 12. This is right before the 10th plague that comes against the nation of Egypt. Now, if you're reading the book of Exodus, it may be easy just to hit it, especially the first few times you read through it, you think, man, wow, the Lord was so tough on Egypt. But really, we have no reason to believe that Egypt was not even a good nation, but Egypt, what we can see from Scripture, Egypt is compared to a Sodom and Gomorrah. And what we have total reason to believe, because every time the Israelites fall back to serving their gods, oftentimes it says, why'd you go back to these gods of Egypt? And all that idolatry is surrounded with sexual perversions of every shapes and forms and kinds that much you're seeing bring back out into society. I hope you understand the same devils and demons that motivated these people to do these sexual perversions and murder children, passing them through the fire, those demons never went away. And they're expressing themselves again today. And people think, well, that's just, you know, that's 3,000-4,000 years ago. We're way more civilized than that. About 34,000 children a day, I think, or... Well, no, 34, thank God, since Roe v. Wade has been done away with, 34,000 children a year are being saved. But there's still states, unfortunately, in our state, it was repealed back to where children can still be murdered through abortion on demand. That's the same demon. I don't like that he said that. Don't care. It's the same demon. The first drag shows were around a lot of these idols, men dressing up like women. Same demon. I don't like that he said that. Don't care. I hate the work of the devil. I don't hate people, and I don't hate people that commit sin, but I hate sin because sin kills, sin destroys, sin hurts, sin harms, sin deceives, and it will take people to hell, and I love people too much to see them go to hell. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6, love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. How many lovers of the truth are here today? Then you stand up against sin. It's those same devils. And so what we see here, God is bringing judgment against the gods of Egypt. In the last plague, the firstborn, notice that, the firstborn son of every house, not Egyptian, every house that does not have blood applied to the door, that firstborn son will be destroyed, be killed by the destroyer. A firstborn son. A son will be required. Under the law of Moses, when a son, the firstborn son, was born in a Jewish family, they brought a blood sacrifice to the Lord. A firstborn son. Now notice this, Exodus chapter 12, verse 4. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor, or verse 3, speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father. A lamb for a household. Someone say, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Verse 5, your lamb will be without blemish. Wait a minute, that sounds like 1 Peter 1. The blood of Christ purchased you as a lamb without blemish or spot. For the first year, and you may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Verse 6, or jump down to verse 7. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat. Then they shall eat the flesh that night, roasted in fire. So they kill this innocent lamb. They take the blood in a bowl. They apply that blood, brush it onto the side post and across the top. The blood was not to be on the threshold. Because Hebrews 10, verse 29 tells us, anyone that openly treads on the blood of Jesus, there is no sacrifice left for them, referring to an apostate. Someone who had faith, removes themselves from faith, and treads openly on the blood of Christ, there's nothing left for them to do. There's no repentance left when they take that decision. That's why the blood was not on the threshold, only on the sides and across the top. And verse 8, then they shall eat the flesh that night. So then the lamb, they'll eat it as a meal. Roasted in fire. There's a lot of symbolism here. Roasted in fire with unleavened bread. Anytime you see leaven in Scripture, most always it refers to sin. Because the Bible says a little leaven, which those that make bread, you know, you put a little leaven in there, a little yeast, and it'll make the bread rise. And you don't need a whole lot of it. Just a little bit of it will do, and it'll make that bread rise. The same way, Scripture says, just like yeast, just a little bit of it makes bread rise, just a little bit of sin corrupts. Because sin's like cancer. Once it gets in, Satan doesn't think, oh, well, you know, I got a hold of your mind. I think I'll stick with that. No, he wants to get a hold of your mind, then your body, then your marriage, then your children, then your finances, then your peace, then your joy, then your soul. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little bit of sin, it'll just work its way through. So they were to eat unleavened bread. So the bread is purified. And with bitter herbs representing the bitterness of that slavery. It's a bitter thing to be enslaved to sin. It may feel good for a season, but it will always bring destruction. Verse 9, don't eat it raw or boiled with the water as the Egyptians would eat their lambs, but roasted in fire. Now, jump down with me to verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, not just Egyptians. In the land of Egypt, any household in the land, in the nation, on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord, or I am Yahweh, I am Jehovah. Verse 13, now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Go down to verse 23 of the same chapter. Verse 23, same chapter, chapter 12. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. There's blood on the door of your heart when you put your faith in Jesus. And that blood is a boundary line that will not allow the destroyer to enter in your home. I so firmly, completely believe in the power of the blood of Christ that I can confidently tell you, if the blood of Jesus is applied to your heart, there's no place for the devil in your life. 1 Peter 1 verse 2 tells us that we receive the sprinkling of the blood by the eternal Spirit through obedience. What is obedience other than the outworking of faith? When you believe, you just live different. When you have faith in God, you just live different. And when you have your faith in Jesus, your life is sprinkled with the blood. The blood of Jesus is applied to those doorposts of your life. I don't know if you saw the news, but yesterday when I was leaving out for men's Bible study, about 15 to 7, we come here at 7 for prayer and Bible study, so I was leaving about 6:45 or so that morning, and I live out on Wilson Drive, which is right off Barnes Road. I saw y'all cutting through there. Y'all must have gone to Milam Road to go home, cutting through there on Barnes Road. I meant to say that a few weeks ago. And so Barnes Road, and I go out there to the red light, and I take a left to get on, was that 76 right there, where, you know, there's urgent care, and across the road is the hospital. And well, so I'm at the red light. I saw some blue lights. Well, I did what you do. I made sure I got my seatbelt on, got my wallet. I ain't speeding. All right. I hadn't done any crimes that I know have been reported. All right. Wipe the sweat from your brow, and you act normal. I saw, but it was early in the morning. I said, maybe they're just like kind of getting traffic to move over because they were in the right-hand lane. So I left, go Bible study, come back. They're still there. Okay. So Laura had an appointment that we had to go to, and we went there, and that was probably around, we left at a little bit before 9, and we went to that appointment, and we come back a few hours later. And when we were coming back in the driveway, I noticed in the driveway, our grass, there were two tire tracks in the grass. And I said, Laura, did you drive through the yard lately? She said, no, last week she did. We got a shed that she keeps some event planning stuff in there. I said, okay. So we go into the garage, close the garage. Naomi's asleep. So anytime a child's asleep like that, that doesn't just like take a nap. She's wide open from 0 to 100. If she's asleep, don't nobody say nothing. Let her sleep. So we're getting out of the car, and all of a sudden, on the garage door, I'm thinking, oh, they did find something I did wrong. Those blue lights have come to find me. Knock on the door, Mr. Bible. It was my neighbor, very good man, good man. He come in, Mr. Bible, talking to me. He said, I just want to let you ask if you heard about all the commotion in your yard. I said, no, I haven't. He said, well, there was a guy that had some warrants out on for him. The police caught him, and he was in a stolen vehicle, and they chased him. And in apprehending him, the guy that was running away got his wrist messed up, so they took him to the hospital. And I'm thinking, that's nicer than I would have been. If I have to chase you in a stolen car for a warrant, get over the pain on the wrist. We'll take you to the hospital in a few days when you cool down. But they took him to the hospital. They're nicer than me. Took him to the hospital. While he's in the hospital, he escapes. Runs across the highway, through the woods, behind my house. In the woods. We weren't there. In the woods. And they apprehended him in my backyard. Now, I don't know if I get like a finder's fee or something like, you know, access way or, you know, maybe I don't have to pay my license plate taxes for the next year or something. I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't do anything. You know, if I did, I could have got my old cowboy hat and cat pistol and my sheriff's badge. But anyway, I wasn't there. So they found him in the woods back there, dragging him out. And I'm just thinking, I'm so glad Laura wasn't here. Laura said, oh, my goodness, could you imagine if me and Naomi were in the backyard playing and all of a sudden just cars, you know, sled, Lawrence City, Clinton City, Lawrence County Sheriff, sled, dogs. They had the hound dogs. They had the canine unit all in my backyard. He was in the woods. My property line stops where the woods start. He never crossed the property line of my house. But the law enforcement went and got him when he was getting real close. The blood of Jesus is like a property line. It's like a boundary line around your life. When you plead the blood of Jesus, it's like a property line. It's like a boundary line. And there may be a bad guy hanging out, some devils and demons hanging out on the outskirts. And the Holy Ghost will say, he ain't crossed the line yet, but he's a little too close. Let's go ahead and get him, take him on back where he needs to be. The blood of Jesus applied to your life, to your marriage, to your children, to our church, to this city. The blood of Jesus makes the destroyer pass over. And notice, it's not just to the Egyptian people. It was to the people in the land of Egypt. A judgment came against the nation, but anyone that was in the nation. If you keep reading, immediately after this, God tells Moses, now look, if there's some people that aren't Jewish, aren't children of Abraham, and they want to partake in this Passover and get some of God's protection on their life, they need to be circumcised and then they can join in and do that, even if they weren't born of the seed of Abraham. Basically what they're saying, if you want to get in on some of this protection, because there's judgment against the nation, the destroyer's moving through the nation, but the judgment and the destruction of the destroyer won't touch your life when the blood's applied. Because I don't know about you, but they wouldn't have known the 10th plague was coming, but after those 9 plagues happened, I'm digging out frogs out of, you know, my bed and in the pantry, and the water turned to blood. And there's flies everywhere. And it's dark when it ain't supposed to be dark. And then cows falling over dead. I'm, you know, maybe I'm giving myself a little more credit than I should. But I just feel like even if I was an Egyptian, I would find me somebody named Levi or Abram or Jehoshaphat or somebody with a Jewish name and say, look, hey, y'all in on something here that when the lights go out over here in Goshen, the lights are still on. I need to know how you're keeping the lights on. Hook a brother up. I know I'm Egyptian, but look, I can change my hair and I can do some things to my flesh, but I just need to know what y'all got going on that I ain't got going on. You just got to apply the blood to the door. You got to apply the blood to the door. I want you to hear these scriptures here in just these next few minutes. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 is the last one I want you to turn to, and then I just want to stir up your faith. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. First Corinthians 5, verse 7 says this, therefore purge out the old leaven. Remember, leaven represents sin. All be clean before the Lord. I was just telling that to the pastor earlier this week. And I receive that in myself. You know, we can always grow in the things of God, amen? We can always get a little bit tighter in the things of God. And in time of prayer and fasting earlier this year, I just heard the Lord say it three times. Sanctify, sanctify, sanctify. Cleanse, cleanse, cleanse. I want to be clean. I want to be sanctified to the Lord. I don't want anything. Not even if it's, if you know, not even talking about like just out blatant wrongdoing, but I don't want anything that even gets close to it or leads me to it. Clean out the old leaven, verse 7. Purge out that old leaven that you may have a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. The body for the Lord, as the book of 1 Corinthians tells us. You should be clean before the Lord. For indeed Christ, notice this, our Passover was sacrificed for us. Just as that lamb for a household. And you could take the blood of that lamb and apply it to the doorpost and the destroyer Passover. Now for all of eternity, Christ is our Passover. Christ eternally came and did what was done for thousands of years. Several thousands of years in the Old Covenant, what was done. Because even before the Hebrew people had a temple, they had altars. Because an altar is where the sacrifice is brought forth, where the lamb is slain. Now, what I want you to see is this. Hebrews chapter 12, or excuse me, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says this. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now notice this. Let me read some of these to you. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is that sinless Lamb. And His blood, having no sin, is the precious blood that you were purchased with. And it is His blood by faith you apply to your heart. You apply to your health. You apply to your money. You apply to your peace. You apply to your mind. You apply to your marriage, to your children and your grandchildren. You apply to your business. You just by faith, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Naomi, for the past few nights, she's waking up in the night and she said, "I'm scared. I'm afraid." She actually jumped out of her crib. Laura said, "I think she got out." I said, "There's no way." About 30 seconds later, she walked in. "Hey, Mommy, Daddy." We put her back in the crib. "Go back to town." "I said, I don't want to go. I'm afraid. I'm afraid." "Nothing to be afraid about. Nothing to be afraid about. That monsters and things." Where she even heard that from. And we had to kind of think about, okay, even some things that we see that she's watching that seems like super harmless to us, her imagination's starting to fire, and she's hearing some of these things, and it's just her imagination and separating from real things. It's just causing her to be afraid. Well, so we put her back in the bed, and we've got that monitor, and she, right when I closed the door, this is what she did. She has a sleep sack on. She went, zoop, jumped over the bed, got the sleep sack, went, and then ran out the door and ran back down. "Hey, Mommy, Daddy." Come down the stairs. "Why are you getting up?" "I'm afraid." And so we dealt with that, but that made me mad. My daughter's not going to suffer from fear. She's under my authority. She's still in an age of innocence. She's still learning. She knows some things right from wrong. Because when she does things, she'll go, "Look." But she's still learning a whole lot of things. But she, how is she going to pray for herself at 2 and a half? She can. She's praying a little bit. She said, "Jesus, food, amen. Amen." She's a little Pentecostal. She does it here and then, "Amen." Woo! That made me upset. Children's not going to be afraid. So last night, she started to do that. She put her down, prayed with her. We always pray with her. I usually do bedtime. Read her story, and we read that. We read some fun story or something, Berenstain Bears or something. Then we read the Beginner's Bible, and that's on my reading level. That's why I like reading it, the Beginner's Bible. And then we prayed, and I put her in the crib, and we got calmed down, came down, and we're looking at that monitor, and she's starting to go around, "Mommy, Daddy." And, no, she lay down and went to sleep, but about like midnight or so, she started, Mommy, Daddy," calling for us. And I said, "All right, I'm going to go up there." I went up there. I said, "Look, baby, there ain't nothing to be afraid of. Jesus protects you. There's nothing to be scared of. I want you to lay down. You're going to go to sleep, and when you wake up, we're going to go to church." He likes church. "Oh, church, yeah." I said, "But first you got to go to sleep." Later down, we went downstairs. I said, "Laura, let's pray. Lord, in Jesus' name, We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over her and her mind and her heart. She is my seed. And your word says that you give rest to your children. She will lay down and sleep, and she'll wake up laughing and crying when it's time to get up. She stirred a little bit. That's an opportunity to doubt and think, did my prayer work? Because she's still moving a little bit. No, I just plead the blood. Hallelujah. Thank you for the blood, Lord. Thank you for the blood. Plead the blood. She lays down, goes to sleep. Wakes up about 8:15 in the morning. Because the blood was applied by faith. How do you apply the blood? How do you put the blood on the doorpost of your heart? Over your marriage? Over your children? Over your mind? Lord, you just say it with your mouth. See, the psalmist said, my tongue is like the pen of a ready writer. I'm just going to, Lord, I thank you for the blood. I thank you that the blood of the Lamb was spilt that I might be clean. I thank you that there's life in the blood, and the blood of Christ has an eternal life in it. How many is thankful that the blood still works for today? See, if you just keep on going and look through Scripture, the Bible tells us that the blood of men speaks. Because when Cain didn't repent, didn't get right with the Lord, he took it out on Abel. Just side note, Cain didn't have any firearms or anything like that. He took whatever he took, stone or something, and killed Abel. Which proves that laws don't make people act right. Law is for the lawbreaker. When that guy's hiding out behind the house, I want them to go get him because he broke the law and get out from behind my house. But that didn't stop him from breaking the law. The breaking of a law brings forth a consequence for the wrongdoing. The law is to execute justice. What stops people from breaking the law? A change in their heart. Because Cain killed before anything we know of that was formed and fashioned to kill. What he used to kill Abel, we don't know. But murder was in the heart, so it worked itself out. So he kills Abel, and the Lord says, wait a minute, where is Abel your brother? He said, I don't know, my brother's keeper? Wrong thing to say to the Lord. When the Lord asks a question, it ain't because he don't know the answer. You need to be like Ezekiel. Thou knowest, Lord. Can these bones live again, Ezekiel? Thou knowest, Lord. Whatever you say. And then verse 10, and he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. The blood cries out of the life that is in it. You go through Scripture, there's the blood of saints and prophets, the blood of bulls and goats, the blood of martyrs, servants, princes, the children of Israel, the blood of Zacharias, the blood of Naboth, the blood of Abner, the blood of the wicked, the blood of the just. But Hebrews 12, verse 24 tells us this, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Just as the blood of Abel cried out to God for vengeance, justice, the blood of Jesus speaks a better thing. When the blood of Jesus was poured on the hill of Calvary, His blood did not cry out to God for vengeance. His blood cried out for mercy. Not for Himself, for you and me. And so the blood of Jesus speaks on your behalf. Ephesians 1:7, in Him we have redemption through His blood. The blood of Jesus speaks that you have been redeemed. And the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. The blood of Jesus, which now is in heaven. Because when He encounters Mary in the garden, He says, don't touch me, I've not yet ascended to the Father. But then just a few verses later, He says, touch me, handle me. Why could she not touch Him, but later they could touch Him? He had to go to the heavenlies. Why did He have to go to heaven? He had to take His blood and put it on the mercy seat, which is in heaven. How do we know that? Because the Lord told Moses, you make a tabernacle and a temple on earth that is like the one in heaven. There's a mercy seat in heaven right now with the blood of Jesus on it. And it's speaking out on your behalf. When you put your faith in Jesus, the blood of Jesus is speaking out before God the Father of what Jesus did on your behalf. And it's saying, they're forgiven. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus is speaking out saying, they're clean. Hebrews 13:11, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Jesus died on the outskirts of Jerusalem, overlooking the city, outside where the criminals died, because that's where the sacrifice was taken, outside of the gates of the city. Jesus was removed from fellowship and connection with the Father because of sin, so that you and I could have his blood speak on our behalf, and that we've been sanctified, that we've been cleansed and brought to the Father. Revelation 5:9, and they sing a new song, saying, "You're worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed to us, to God, by your blood, out of every tongue, tribe, people, and nation." Romans chapter 3, verse 25, "Whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." The blood of Jesus speaks on your behalf, saying they are justified. They're made right with God. They've been reconciled. They've been brought back into right relationship. Colossians 1 verse 20, "And by Jesus to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." The blood of Jesus in heaven cries out and say, they have peace with us. They're no longer enemies to us. They've put their faith in me, and now they have peace with God. Revelation 12:11, "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. They freely gave all that they were and are." The blood speaks on your behalf that you have the victory, that you've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. It's why we sing songs, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." What about this? We know this one. "Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" What about this one? "Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you over evil victory win? There's power in the blood. Would you be much whiter than snow? Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood." What about this one? "Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Oh, glory to his name." There's power in the blood, and that power is eternal. The blood has never lost its power. It never will lose its power. It's what was needed to redeem a people from sin, and it forever will eternally be in the mercy seat of heaven, crying out, speaking on the behalf of those who put their faith in Jesus. If you put your faith in Jesus, say amen while you're standing up, and we go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that your heart is mercy and love. Your heart is redemption and salvation. Your heart is the redeeming power that is found in the blood. When the need arose, the blood was already there. When sin came into the earth, you already had a plan, that the Lamb of God would be slain for the sins of the world. Lord, let that truth and that reality, that the power of Christ is made available to us by the blood of Christ, so richly, completely saturate our hearts and our minds that we continually by faith apply and plead the blood of Christ over our life. Lord, we thank you that we overcome. We love not our lives unto death. We've given all that we are to you. We surrender completely to you. And we thank you, Lord, that the victory comes by the blood of Jesus, and we speak the word of our testimony, which is we believe in the power of the blood. Lord, you told us that it was through faithful obedience that Jesus' name was exalted above every name. The power that is vested in the name of Jesus was because he spilt blood at his cross. We thank you that the power of the blood and the authority of the name of Jesus is more than enough for every situation. If you're here today and you need to believe on Jesus and receive that saving, redeeming power that's found in His blood, if you need to repent of your sins, you need to get right with God because He is holy and just. He's not changed. If you say, you know what, AJ, I hear what you're talking about, and I want that power that's in the blood of Jesus working in my life, it comes by way of salvation. And if you're here today and you need to put your faith in Jesus and be washed by the blood, washed of every sin, every shameful thing, just as Adam and Eve, they were ashamed, be washed from every shameful, wrong thing you've done, the blood still cries out for mercy for you today. If you need to do that, or maybe at some point in time you were living for the Lord, but now you're not right with God and you know it. You know it. The Holy Spirit's nudging on your heart. That's that churning you feel. That's called conviction. I want you to know that there's salvation in this house today. If that's you and you need to make things right with God, would you, while every head is bowed and every eye closed, would you just slip your hand up if that's you? You want to make things right with God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray together as a family, as a church family, for those that raise their hands, and those that are watching online or those watching the replay. Hey, the blood still works even on replays. In Jesus' name, put your faith in this prayer. Pray this prayer with me. Everybody pray this prayer with me in the house as they say, Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son, sinless yet made to be my sin sacrifice. He hung on my cross. He died my death for my debt. He filled my grave. Yet 3 days later, He was raised from the dead. And it's by His life that I'm alive. He was crucified, and so was I. He was resurrected, and so am I. I confess Jesus is Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Lift up a hand clap of praise for those that receive salvation today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I want you to pray one more prayer with me. Say, Father, we plead the blood, the precious blood of Christ, that still has the wonder-working power of you, O God. We plead the blood over our spirit, our souls, our bodies, our minds, our marriages, our children, our families, this church, our city, and our nation. We apply the blood to the doorposts of our hearts and our homes. The destroyer has no right to pass the bloodline. The blood of Jesus speaks a better word concerning me, concerning my church, concerning my family, concerning this nation. The blood of Jesus cries out on my behalf, and I receive the power that's in the blood. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I love you so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this faith-filled message. Please connect with us at our website, gospeltabernaclechurch.com, so we can continue to be a part of your faith walk. And if you're listening today and you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, now is the time to do that. Now, today is the day of salvation. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Father, I believe you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins on the cross. And you have raised him from the dead that I might be alive in him. Jesus, I confess, you are Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome. You're now in the family of God. You're a child of God. Connect with us. Let us know if you prayed that prayer. We want to be right there alongside you as you walk out this journey of faith in Christ. God bless you.